I trust by now, hopefully a lot of you guys are on holiday. Hopefully there's some friends or family, relatives, people visiting, spending time with you. I must say at this stage, my children, they've got now about 10 days of holiday since the school have closed. I think they've got still about 30 days left. So I must say I'm a bit jealous. It looks so nice. I remember those days when we were at school and you had 2 or 3 months a year of holiday and then went to varsity and then you just had equal amount if you weren't working in holidays. You had 2, 3, how many months of holidays. And that's something that as soon as you start working the day and you're down to 20 days, then you say, well, time is really precious, you know. It's really a scarce commodity. And then a day of leave really becomes something that's very important to all of us. It's not very long after this, maybe it's only my house, but when I speak to other parents, you know, usually it's just about 10 days and then the kids try and come to you and ask you, so what can we do? We're bored, you know, it's almost if they try and done everything. The other day, you know, my, no, that's that guy. you know, my wife brought a lot of boxes from work and it's funny, you know, sometimes you give your kids expensive things and then my wife just brought 2 black bags with glue and they had an awesome time just playing with boxes and building houses and just keep it simple. Sometimes it's so so beautiful. Also, I was speaking during the past week to 2 pastor friends in South Africa and they just said to me separately, actually, you know, how they have to plan for the start of January because, you know, there's so many things happening and their son is going to university and life is so busy, and I guess most of us can say that, you know, that life really becomes busy. And when we look back at those days when you were at university or college or maybe at school, even we had those 2 or 3 months of leave, then it seems never ending. But then when you work and you've got a family and ministry and children, a wife or a husband, you know, you really sometimes get to a place of saying, where will I find the time to wash the car or to do this or to do that? And so important, church, that we really plan. And then I guess we can, some of those of you who like to be philosophical, you know, we can talk a lot about time and, you know, we can measure time and etc. But, you know, time is a gift of God. It's something that we have. And there's obviously a limit and there's an end to our time. We read in Genesis 3 verse 19, it says, by the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return. And that just speaks to all of our hearts that we know there will be an end of our lives. And none of us know whether we will live 10 or 20 or 80 or 90 years. That's something that's in God's hands. It's something that none of us know. But what we do know is there's a full stop to our lives in this phase before eternity. There will be an end. And that means the time that we have, we need to use that wisely. And I don't want to, I'm not going to preach a sermon on time management. I'm not an expert in that, but I've learned by failing. I've learned a few things in my own life. I remember after my two sons were born, it just felt in our life for me and my wife, if we had no time for nothing. Now, if you had a lot of young children, and then my little daughter were born when the twins were 2 years and 2 months old. And I remember we had 3 children under the age of 2.5, and it just seems like chaos in the house. And I think only a few years later, you know, me and my wife could actually walk and hold each other's hands again. Because when you each carry a baby, there's not a lot of holding hands and those type of things. But those are cycles, those are seasons in life that we all go through. But I really believe I've grown to a place, as I said many times by failing, that I've learned to plan better. And I think this time of the year is an excellent time. Usually, except if the work you do is really focused on the tourism or on, you know, something that's really busy here at the end of the year. For most of us, when the schools are closing and it's the end of year, we've got a bit of leave. So it's a time when life is hopefully a bit more quiet. So it's also time that we can sit and reflect on the year that's passed and we can plan for the year that's ahead. And that's a few things that I actually want to share a little bit on this morning. Now, the Apostle Paul was a busy man. He wasn't just a theologian sitting in an office wearing thick glasses and a white coat and looking clever, teaching at the university. He was a man who practiced what he preached. You know, he was a practical guy, obviously was an excellent theologian as well, but he lived life. He was beaten, stoned, and shipwrecked, and went through just about any all the things in life one can experience. And when I look at his life, he gives us good advice about how to use our own time. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 to 17, he says, "Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is." Powerful, beautiful sentence. I believe there's a lot in that. And I think when I was sitting preparing for the sermon, I just thought back when I was younger and I didn't know the Lord, and how we actually waste a lot of time. And when I came into the kingdom and become a Christian, I think there's more purpose in our lives. There's more godliness. There's more planning. Hopefully that goes for all of us. And Paul talks here and he says, listen, people, you are Christians now. You are, please be wise. Don't walk as the foolish. We can go to Proverbs and we can read a lot about how the fool thinks and plans versus wisdom and where it comes from God, etc. And he says they're making the best use of the time. And church, that's one thing that we can say. We only have X amount of time, and none of us know when our time will end. Scripture says that is in God's hands. But all of us, we have the same, the day is the same length for all of us. And I just was sitting a bit earlier and I was just thinking, planning a little bit. And, you know, if you sleep 30 minutes less in a day or a night, hopefully you sleep at night and not at the day most of the time. But if you sleep in a 24-hour cycle 30 minutes less, then you have 3.5 hours more at your disposal during a week. That gives you about 182 hours in a year, or about 7.5 days that you actually have to think or work or plan or have devotional time. You know, because most of us, I believe, are quite busy, and very frequently we will say, well, I can't do this right now because I don't have the time. I've got this commitment or that commitment. And many times we fall in a lot of pitfalls and a lot of trouble, because then it becomes 2 or 3 or 6 months and you haven't visited your parents maybe, or made a phone call to a good friend that, oh, sorry man, I have to apologize. I wanted to come and visit, but you know, I was just too busy. Well, that's something I have to deal with. And I guess a lot of, especially younger people that have to keep the school calendar in the back of our minds when we plan and how we do things and the church and our own jobs, etc. And here's some really, really good advice from Paul, where he says how we should conduct our daily living, how we should think and how we should plan. Paul is advocating here that these readers utilize every hour in a productive way. Divan was just previously doing the offering, where we usually talk a bit about stewardship and about our finances. And I believe there's a place where we also need to be good stewards of our time, not wasting it away. You know, I think there's so many things today that can they talk about this whole selfie generation. You know, there's so much research. I think there's even a short course next year that the Schoeffer Institute will present on social change and the media and the whole everything regarding that. I don't want to get distracted now, but they say there's never been a generation that achieved so little, and they document everything by taking photographs of themselves sticking out your tongues or licking someone next to your ears or doing something really stupid and silly that there's not a lot of sense in sometimes. We all need to take careful assessment of how we spend our time and prioritize how we use our time according to kingdom values. And you see, just a while ago, early in the year, I said to my boys, guys, you're now big enough. From now on, I've bought myself a stainless steel roaster for the first time in my life. From now on, you're going to wash it. After we use it, you wash it. You know, I don't have time for that anymore. I'm going to delegate it now to you. Okay, dad. Well, first they seem excited, and then they see if you die like a Thai hoenderkie gebraai het, and that Jimmy sticky sauce is on the roster, that boy, he complains. No, dad, the other day we just had the sausage and it was easy to clean the roster, and now it's all difficult and stuff. And you know how kids are, they're always complaining the other one got a better deal out of it or something like that. But I'm teaching them also to work. They need to teach to be part of the household. If they want to be fed, they need to do something as well. But there's also a place where I need to prioritize and say, listen, I can do it, but I can give it to them. Maybe I'm going to have to send them back a few times and say, listen, you didn't clean it properly. But that's discipleship. There's a place where they can grow into that. A quote I want to share with you, it will be also here. It says, time has a wonderful way of showing us what really matters. Time has a wonderful way of showing us what really matters. So if you are in the peak of your career and you're really probably working hard and you're a leader in church and you're married and children, and you only have limited time, you know, then you really have to plan and to, you can't, I remember I just bought myself a pair of golf clubs in my early 20s, and then my dad said to me, listen, you make me a promise, the day you become a father, you sell those golf clubs. Well, my dad didn't have to convince me much, because as soon as the twins were born, playing 18 holes from 7 to 2 o'clock, that's not going to happen. Otherwise, my wife is definitely going to kill me if I leave her home alone with two months old children. That's not going to be very impressive. But you see, if we turn it around, if you document your own time, if you have a log sheet or a book, or you keep account of what you do with your time, then I will be able, if I read through that, I will be able to tell you what is important in your life. What is important in your, how important is God to you? You see, Christianity isn't something abstract, you know, I'm a Christian, I wear the badge. No, the relationship takes time. You know, we see it in married life. If you want to, if you need to invest something there, I was just, during the break, I was talking to one or two people, and I said to them, you know, certain things I do in life isn't necessary, I don't want to say it's not a priority for me, but I'll do it for the sake of my children. I'll do it for the sake, I don't wake up in the morning excited to play Lego, but I'll do it for them. I'm a father. That you need to play cars with them or soldiers. And sometimes they want to watch a movie that's really not my type of thing, but I'll do it for them because I know there's value in building a relationship. The same with if you're married, maybe as husband and wife, you know, you don't have exactly the same interests in life. Maybe your wife life likes fishing and you like cooking, and then, you know, you need to make a sacrifice that you accommodate each other somewhere. But we need to do those things to show the other person I actually care. I actually will take some of my precious time and I'll give it to you, and I'll say, listen, I'll sow it. I'll sow it into the relationship. Time has a wonderful way of showing us what really matters. So there's a lot of things that I guess can distract us in life, and I think some of the things that really frustrate me is, I guess you will be the same, if I get to the end of a day and I felt like I was really busy, but I actually did nothing concrete or solid. Sometimes there's you just start working and then someone phones you, and after the phone call, you know, there's another emergency, and then it's lunch, and you fetch the kids, and you do this or that, and at the end of the day, you took a little bit here, and it took a little bit there, and you felt like not fulfilled. What's fulfilled? You know, where you felt like this, and obviously the flip side of the coin is, if you had a day, and you got a lot of things that you have done, and you can tick that to-do list, and you go tired to bed, then you feel like, man, that was a hard day, but it was a good day. It was a day that I accomplished a few things, and we all love that. Now, the thing is, church, God wants us to use our time also to see His kingdom come. God also wants us to partake in His kingdom, to extend and to build up His kingdom. And we need to manage our time, that there's time for us to think and to pray through what God is calling us to do. I'm not, as I'm standing here, I don't feel guilty for not evangelizing in the Philippines or in Egypt. That's not what God called me right now to do. Maybe not in other town, even in our country. I know where God is calling me right to. Maybe another person will be sent there because that is what God is calling them to. You see, we can't do everything. I'm not part of the worship team. It's not my calling. It's not where I do. And the same in life, in our households, you know, there's certain things my wife do where she's certainly better than I am, and then opposite stuff that I do better. And we don't have to feel guilty about all the things we don't do. But you know what is really important is that we plan and that we think and we prioritize about the things that God is calling us to. You know, next year, early in the middle of the year, January, we will give you the new printed church calendar. And then there's the whole year ahead. So in life, if we want to say yes to certain things, that means we need to say no to other things. I said no to playing golf, just to use it as an example, because I said yes to different things. And that was primarily a family decision, something I had to take. My dad didn't have to force me, which just something I saw. I'm not going to have time in that season of my life for that anymore. So it's important, I believe, yeah, at the end of the year, that we do take some time out, especially if life isn't so rushed, that we do and that we prayerfully consider what God is calling us for the next year. So if you want to make an investment in your theology or in your growth as a Christian, and yeah, at our church you want to say you want to do Bible school, and it will take another evening out of your maybe already very busy week, then you need to plan probably, and you need to say, well, I'm going to strategize and I'm going to say no to certain things in order to create time. But if you don't plan ahead, you know, then usually we get to a place of saying, oh, I can't do it right now, I don't have time. I think there's an old saying that says, if you really want to get something done, ask someone that's really busy or effective. Because someone who's doing nothing, for them to just do one thing, it's like, it sounds like a mountain. But that guy who does 20, 30, 50 things a day, well, one more, well, we just fit it in there somewhere and we get the job done. Okay? So there's a time for all, everything that we need to do. And as I said, I love reflecting, and I still love reading. And when I was at primary school, I read a lot of typical Afrikaans books about the Eile and Trompie, and some of you might remember some of those titles. Maybe there's someone that I can see read those books. And then, but yes, somewhere at the end of high school and university, I got to a place, and this is just personal, where I just felt I can't read fiction anymore, just stories. Because when I put down the book and I've invested 20 hours, say, reading it, I felt like accomplishing nothing. So hear me right now. If your time to relax is reading storybooks, I'm not saying it's wrong, it's sin. Definitely not. I'm not saying that, okay? I've got stupid hobbies I do that fulfills me that you might not like. But that's something I love to read about. When I read, it must be something I love about politics or history or geography or science or something, obviously theology, something that when I put that book down, I can say, man, I've learned something. I've got a new tool. I've discovered something in life. Theodore Roosevelt said, the more you know about the past, the better prepared you are for the future. You know, and that's not just in the world of politics or management. I believe in our own lives, when we look back at the years, and I say, for instance, I never had time to go to intercession because maybe for whatever reason, I'm just using it as an example, you can sit down and say, how will I make time once in 6 weeks to be able to attend it? Maybe I am me and my wife, because that's what I sometimes do. We take turns to go to intercession because I don't want to leave my children at 5 o'clock with 5:30 at home. That's just plain silly. I will personally punish you if you do something silly like that. But then I will stay home and send my wife there because she also needs and wants to be part of the church's prayer life. History has got a way to repeat itself. And I believe in our own lives, I've got a few times I do a place where I said to myself, now I've made the same silly mistake again. Many times that was in my relationship with my wife. Carl, why did you say that silly thing again? You should think before you speak. Now the couch is yours again. I'm just teasing, it's not that bad. But you see, church, when we look back and we learn from our past mistakes, then there's a chance that we can go to God and to say, God, I need grace. I need an accountability partner, or I just need someone that's really excellent in planning or in accomplishing their goals. Go and speak to those people. How will I change it next year? How will I do it differently? Winston Churchill also, he said, the farther backward you can look, the farther forward you can see. And both of these men, I guess Theodore Roosevelt and Winston Churchill, powerful leaders, men, had made a lot of decisions in their lives. And both of them said, listen, there's some value in looking at the past, and it will help you to see something in the future. And for us here, I want to stretch this thing, and I'm not preaching actually about time management. I actually want to get to God. But what I want to say, church, is if we want to be devoted Christians, we need to be good planners. Because a lot of our people are really busy. And if you want to have time for the things of God, whether it's Bible school at night time, or intercession at daytime, or a men's camp, or awaken over a weekend, then you need to plan. Then you need to plan ahead and strategize how you will get to that place. Paul said we must be really wise, and we must make the best use of our time. Be good stewards of our time. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 15 to 16, Paul is writing, and he says, that you may be blessed and innocent, children of God, without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. And that's something I want to say in my own life, and I believe as a church, as a community, we also want to say that. Listen, we don't want to just play church. We don't just want to be here and do stuff that is senseless or foolish. That's something the unsafe people do. That's not about the church do. We've got purpose. We've got a calling. And if you even slightly believe, maybe you sit at a dark place in your life. I specifically want to read Ephesians 2, chapter 10. I say that's one of my favorite 500 verses in Scripture. Let me read it to you. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in him. God has given all of us certain qualities, a certain temperament. He has given us a certain... He has put us together, and he said, listen, go and be a good steward of what I've given to you. Some of us will not be presidents or headmasters or leaders or sports champions, but God has given something for all of us to do in this life. And I think one of the things is to miss that. We can miss that. And that's why I believe it's so important to use a time like this at the end of the year and sit still and say, God, what do you want of me? Did it change from last year or the past 5 years? Are you calling me to something new? God, are you laying something new on my heart? To join something new? To start something new? That can be at your workplace. It can be in church. It can be your own household. I personally try and have more communion in my house. And then just as we do Thanksgiving in church, I've started in my own Outlook calendar or Outlook, my emails, I called it my victory box. And throughout the year, when something special happens, just by the grace of God or a victory or something, I write an email to myself and I just say, someone gave me 5 cents, whatever. And I mail it and I put it in the victory box. And then at the end of the year, I can look back and say, God, you are good. God, you are faithful. Thank you for all those times when I accomplished the goal I really worked for, or whether you just by grace blessed me with something that I really, really didn't deserve. But thank you, God. And then, because we can get at the end of the year, and we can in a natural try and evaluate, was it a good year or a bad year or average year. But sometimes if we just look back at something like, as I said, that's just my own thing, I call it the victory box. If you look back and then there's certain things you have forgotten. And then you just can look back and say, God, I thank you. Thank you for everything. Thank you for even when things look dark around me, you were still a good God. You're still a good Father. You're the Alpha and the Omega. You don't change. You stay the same. And there's some really good advice for us, Paul writing here, and he said, listen, don't run in vain. Don't get to the end of your life and look back and say, I wish I did this. I wish I did that. Sally McClung, I'm partly reading the book. She says, where will I find the time? Written way back in the 80s, early 90s, I think. And there's a poem, which I don't have right now, but it's basically called about this man, about what he wanted to do tomorrow. And then he said, tomorrow I'll do this, I'll start to exercise. And tomorrow I'll start to tithe. And tomorrow I'll become a Christian. And then, you know, at the last days of his life, he still had such a long list of stuff he wanted to do. Now, not all of us will climb all the mountains and sail the seven seas. But, you know, there's some things in our hands. Sometimes we just need to save for 2 years, and then you can do something, you know, God is really laying on your heart, or you will know what that will be. I want to read to us from from Acts chapter 2, there, right at the start of the early church, Acts chapter 2, verse 42, fellowship of the believers. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And you see that word devoted, you know, if we want to be Christians, we need to be devoted. There's no place where we can just be like this, I'm a Christian, and then, you know, there's nothing really happening. We read right there at the start in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5, it said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And that same chapter or verse, that same verse is quoted in Luke 10, verse 27 by Jesus. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your everything. Now, in order to do that, you can't do that by spending 5 minutes a month and saying, God, you are great, you are awesome, please bless me, please protect me, and then you love the Lord your God with all your heart. It doesn't work like that. And I know the church. I know a lot of you personally as good friends, and I know how hard people work. I know how busy people are, how people travel for work and really climb out mountains. And we know, I had a lecturer at university, and always when the students complained about a test or assignment, he just said, life is hard. And then he stick to his date, and you just had to study for that. And sometimes life is hard. It's a fact. A solid theologian, D.A. Carson, said, some suffering is not the result of our sin, but simply the result of being faithful to God in a world at war with Him. Sometimes things just happen. Sometimes just because you're a Christian, just because you go to church, sometimes maybe just at the workplace because you stand up for Christian values or to be honest or the truth. Someone will say to you, ah, you silly, you da da da, whatever. You know, we will have those persecution. Sometimes we obviously reap the bad fruits of our own sinful behavior. If you steal money and you get caught and the police officer is at your door, well, then you have to face the music. Then God will forgive you if you repent, but you still need to face the law. That's how life works. But to come back to this place of the early church, they were devoted to the teachings of the apostles. What was the apostles' teaching? They were teaching about the life of Jesus Christ, the way He died, the way He was resurrected, about the signs and the wonders and the miracles, about the good news, how it fit into God's bigger scheme and plan, how He sent the Savior, okay, to die in our place, that me and you can be saved, that we can be born again. Think back about that place in your own life where you said yes to Christ the first time. What happened afterwards? You just felt devoted. You want to listen to gospel music. That's where usually people think you know, you're losing your marbles, because you want to go to church on a weekend, on a Saturday, and a Sunday, and on a Wednesday, to small group, and then fast and intercession, and then. I was like that. I remember my dad and family, my poor sister felt like, what happened to my brother? It's like weird. But when you are regenerated, when you are made new on the inside, you get a revelation of salvation. I guess there's just something drawing us to God. That sense of devotion. You just want to eat the word. It feeds you. And then sadly sometimes, over the years we grow cold. And we lose that love, that first love. And by God's grace, there's every day an opportunity for us to turn back. Maybe you get hurt, you get offended. Church is tough sometimes. Okay? And then we need to turn back and say, God, instead of all those things, I will love you because you're a good God. That place of devotion. And I think the point that I actually want to make this morning is, I've seen so many times with our leaders and the small groups, zone coaches, ministry leaders, that I guess we can learn sometimes from the world where there's strategic plans, 2-year plans and 5-year plans and 10-year plans. Sometimes in the church we're just like, oh, sorry, I didn't have time. But I believe because we are busy, we need to reflect, as Churchill and Roosevelt said, you know, on the past, learn from that. Prayerfully go into the new year. There's some time, hopefully, for you at the end of the year to go to the sea or a dune or somewhere and say, God, I'm going to give you this 2 hours. I'm going to worship you and then speak to my heart. What is on it next year? Where can I grow? Where can I sacrifice? What should I do differently? God will speak to us. A quote I read a few years ago that I loved the day when I heard it for the first time in a sermon. It's by Benjamin Franklin, one of the founding fathers and a Freemason, unfortunately. But he had a good quote. He said, "If you fail to plan, you're planning to fail." Man, I've said that thing many times to myself. If you fail to plan, you're planning to fail. Yesterday morning, me and my wife, once again, we had this slight argument. I said, but you didn't plan it. Now it's a problem because you didn't plan it. And then obviously, you know, it's not very long. Because when we don't plan, when there's a lack of planning, no planning, or useless planning, if I can put it like that, what happens? Usually there's conflict, or we don't reach our goals. There's frustration. But there's also frustration in our walk with God. You know, I'll be honest with you. There were days, many days in my life, when I postponed my quiet time all the time till 10 o'clock at night. And I think I'm going to do it just now and then just now. And then you get to 10 at night and then you're really tired and you feel like, oh, stupid. I got into this trap again where I just got busy and I thought I'm doing the things of God, but I didn't spend time with God. It goes back to planning. It goes back to discipline. It goes back to if you fail to plan, you are planning to fail in many ways of our lives. I guess it goes for finances, it goes for vision, but it goes also for devotion. If you don't budget these days time with God, then life will just suck you in. There's always something that will contend and want to take our time. In Psalm 31 verse 15, we're reading God says that our time is in His hands. Okay? So there's a certain amount of time that's a gift that God will give to all of us. And Paul says we should use it wisely. We should use it as wise men, not as fools. So, as I said, in certain seasons of our lives, especially, I would say, well, probably between 20 and 60, especially, I don't want to categorize people, maybe I'm not there yet, but especially in those days when our kids are young and our marriages are young and we're young in our jobs, then it's really a time to plan and a time to focus. Because you can't just for 6 months say to your wife, well, I'm too busy. That thing always comes back and bites you. Children have to wait. They always want to come to you and say, when dad, when can we play on the grass? Or when can we fight? They want time. That's good. That's natural. And sometimes we need to say, well, I'm going to wake up that 3 minutes earlier to finish my sermon that I have time somewhere in the day where I can play with them or exercise or whatever the case might be. I'm going to start ending off, I want to read to us from Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Something you probably will know very good, but I don't know how often we always read it. And that just speaks something about God's heart, that there is a time for everything. And especially this time of the year, my prayer is that hopefully families come together. Hopefully there's time that we can do stuff that we don't do in a normal week cycle. When you're busy and it's school and all those type of things. I want to read you from verse 1 to verse 8. For everything there is a season, and for every matter under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to seek and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to tear, to tear, and a time to seal. So, a time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. Basically, there's a time for everything under the sun. In our own lives, and people, there's a time this time of the year where you can sleep on a Sunday afternoon. Maybe even a Tuesday or a Thursday afternoon where you can rest a bit. Where you can go and take off your shoes and lay in front of the TV and just relax. Just charge your battery a bit. Nothing wrong with that. Go and read a book on history or politics or even fiction if you want to. If that really pleases you. Nothing wrong with that. We need time to refresh. We need during the year time where we can refresh. But most important, we cannot say we don't have time for God or the things of God. We want to be devoted Christians. as we see right there at the birth of the early church, they were devoted, and so should we be. Paul was writing, he's saying, listen, make the best use of your time. So today, whether you're young or old or working or maybe retired, while there's time in our hands, we should be wise. We should be good stewards of God, what God is entrusting to us. And I really want to encourage us here at the end of the year to reflect on the past and look back very far sometimes, that you can look ahead a long, long way, miles and miles in front of you. You can say, God, I'm trusting you for those things in 2 or 4 years' time even. Maybe 5 or 10 years. I trust you. I will be here or there or doing this or that. Church, there's a time for everything. For church, there's a time for family and finances and holiday. For men's camp and for awaken, there's a time to rest and a time to do good. And I trust that there will be place in our hearts for all those things that God wants to do through our lives. He gives us that time. We need to be wise. We need to be good stewards. So I want to encourage us to prayerfully consider the past year and then to speak to God about the year ahead. There's no better of time. When the race starts again next year, then we're all running. But when we've got that vision in our hearts, then we can stick to that. For us to say yes to certain things, we must say no to other things. That's called prioritizing, okay? So go and look at your own life. What is important? What's the most important things? Even if you really want to, you can go and keep a logbook and you can see how are you using actually your time? How much time are you wasting? Even if you just take 30 minutes a day, which you, let's say, have at your disposal, which you didn't have before, it can give you about 7.5 days, 182 hours. That's a lot of time. If you use those 30 minutes to study scripture, and you can stick to that, I promise you, next year this time, you'll be at the place and say, wow, awesome. See what God has done with that time I've given you. If you use that time, let's say, just use the example, and you're not doing any exercise at all, and you use that 30 minutes, and you exercise that 182 hours, man, I promise you, you will feel differently. Okay, that's where those things start. It starts with planning. It starts with vision. It starts with hearing from God. So that's what I just want to encourage us to take the time here at the end of the year, and not to be just Christians that just go with the stream and go with the flow, but to be devoted. To be devoted and to be serious about the things of God. But for that to happen, I believe we really need to get our planning right, our prioritizing right. And it starts with prayer. We're going to have to pray and say, God, what do you have for me? Maybe what that person in church needs to do, that's not what God is calling me to do. Something different. So there's an opportunity that we have now. Go back and go and give God that clean slate or that white paper, and use that time wisely. Let us pray together. Father God, thank you that first of all, Lord, you give us the gift of life, Lord. Our opportunity to live and to experience, Lord. To see and smell, Lord God, and to see how you created the world, Lord God. And Father, then we get to a place where we have to acknowledge, Lord God, that we are dust and we will return to dust, Lord God. And we see that cycle all along, every day, Lord God, happening around us, Lord. Thank you, Lord God, for the gift of life once again, Lord. And Father, I pray, Lord God, that we will be, yes, Lord God, that we will look at Paul's life, Lord God, as he imitated Christ, Lord. That we will imitate Paul, which was a godly man, a wise man. And he said we should make best use of our time. Lord God, that we can live according to kingdom principles, Lord God, when we plan our time. That we will be prayerful, Lord, and say here at the end of 2016, Lord, show me about the year past. Have I wasted time? Where did I waste time? Were my priorities maybe wrong in my marriage, at work, in church? Lord God, speak to our hearts, Lord God. Come and change those priorities, Lord God. Make us a new list, Lord God. Come and show us your heart, Lord. Father, that we can be Christians that say we love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our understanding, with all our everything. But Lord, that will take a lot of devotion to get to know you and to spend time in your word and to fellowship with the church and with believers and unbelievers, Lord God. Lord, you said we should go to the ends of the world But Father, that will take planning. That will be strategic, Lord God. And thank you, Lord God, just what you're doing for us as a church as well, Lord God. The lives that I believe you are touching in this town and in this nation, Lord God. And yes, Lord, you say in Ecclesiastes, Lord, that there's a time for everything, Lord. A time to live and a time to die, Lord God. And yes, Father, that we will take that to heart, Lord. And that it will be a time for rest now at this time of the year. A time to be with friends and family. Hopefully there will be time and money to do things that we usually can't do, Lord. But Father, that we will use this time wisely and invest it, Lord God, into planning for the next year. And please, Lord, come and show us where to say yes and no, Lord. And yes, Father, that we will be really diligent, Lord God, to be good stewards, Lord, of the time and the gift and the skills and everything you put in our hands. In Jesus' name, I pray that. Amen.